This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. 25 years ago, Malaysia took its nascent steps in the digital economy with the creation of Malaysia Digital Economy Corporation, widely known as MDEC, to advise the government on ICT and multimedia developments, as well as to facilitate the MSC rollout. Fast forward to 2021, and the target is for the digital economy to contribute to 22.6% of GDP by 2030, guided by the new My Digital Blueprint. So today we speak to Serena Shukri, CEO of MDEC, to ask if we have all the tools in place to achieve this goal, and also the recent changes at one of the best funded government agencies in the country. We should start by addressing a recent Vibes article that says that you're on the way out. Is there any truth to this?
When you think about it, I've been brought in to affect change. Like, I signed on for a three-year contract, which is through January 2022. And of course, we know that there's always risk in taking up any government position, especially given nowadays with the shifting sands of the political landscape. There are many things that's outside of my control. Personally, I haven't seen anything from my board. And until I've been communicated, I will still keep focused on what I've been brought here to do. And so for the last 28 months, I've been steadfast in delivering on my mandate, which is to build a world-class MDEC and to help steer Malaysia's digital economy. And so I've been very lucky with the support of a very dedicated, purpose-driven team. So shout out to the 500 people at Team MDEC. And more importantly, with a very supportive board of directors. So even if I were replaced, and of course we don't know these things, it wouldn't be by choice, and I don't think it would be performance driven. But I can tell you that whatever happens, it's been an incredible opportunity, and it's been many high highs and many low lows. And it's been incredibly satisfying and rewarding.
So just to be very clear, you haven't heard anything from the board of directors?
So at this point, I'll wait for instructions. But in the meantime, you know, my focus is to continue to deliver on the agenda at hand. I'm very lucky that we've been executing through a tremendous amount of change, actually.
Yeah, but at the same time, there can't be smoke without fire, right? You know, there has been no departures of at least key management, at least eight of them. Is this indicative of something brewing within MDEC? And let's be clear, it's key positions. So it was a CFO, CEO, and a whole host of vice presidents.
You know, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary, and a lot of people have been at the organization for quite some time. We've gone through a lot of change. There have been many reasons why people would decide to move on and think about what's next. I think one of the things that has transpired, especially during the pandemic, is the fact that we've all had to execute. You know, the expectations are a lot higher, and I think there just comes a time when people have to decide to do what's right for them. So I'd like to set the record straight. It was not mass. It was all coincidental. There were many different reasons why people moved on to different things. And so the need to also continue to enhance and bring in new set of skill sets as well.
Okay.
And so certainly over the last 7 months, we've onboarded, you know, 15 new leaders, actually, and we're all working as a team today.
So the appointment of Dato' Rais Hussein as chairman, which was last June, is this in any way contributing to the change that we are seeing within MDEC?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, we've embarked on this reinvention agenda, which is really to make sure that we're able to deliver more with less in half the time, because that's certainly the expectation of all organizations as we move into this era of, you know, post-pandemic, moving towards a more robust digital economy for IR.
Earlier on, you mentioned the changing political landscape, and we do know Dato' Rais was appointed by the present PN government and, of course, the Minister of Communications and Media, Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah, whilst your appointment was during the previous Pakatan government. So I'm just curious, what is your working relationship like with the chairman, and has there been a change in terms of how things are being done in MDEC, or are you all pretty much left to be independent as a government agency?
Oh, so we have a very good relationship with the board and the management team. The chairman and I, we get along quite well. He's been very supportive in terms of all the different things that we have been trying to implement. And together with the support of the board too, we've got quite an independent board. It's this effort to institutionalize the organization. So implementing change all the way from the top. So it starts with governance at the board level, how we manage the board, all the way to how we run our limits of authority or to our strategic plans for 2021 and beyond.
Interestingly, you mentioned the move towards institutionalizing MDEC, which is great. There has been an introduction of discretionary authority limits, right, which is part of the reinvent initiatives. But my question is, I also understand that KPMG has been appointed to run a major audit on MDEC. I mean, can you share with us any findings or any improvements that are going to be made?
So I would say it was a holistic governance review because, like I said, we wanted to make sure that we're set up for longevity. So we were looking all the way. What they did was look at the everything from how the board is structured. You know, do we have the right committees? Do we have the right things in place? All the way to our business processes. So like procurement, our grants management, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been a very robust exercise that we had to go on through to really shore us up to where we are today. We've bolstered the management team as well with a lot of private sector talent, actually.
I mean, it seems like you've got all the talent in place to help MDEC move into the new era after its 25th anniversary. But I want to know, what difference is there going to be? Is there going to be a new focus for MDEC, which some say is much needed for a company where, in a rather crowded ecosystem in terms of government agencies aiding the push for Malaysia towards being a digital economy? Because when I look at who's involved, there's Malaysian Global Innovation and Creative Centre, MAGIC. We've got Cradle. We've got Malaysia Venture Capital Management Berhad, Malaysian Debt Ventures. These are just some of the government agencies. So I'm just curious, is MDEC's role in a way being eclipsed by these other agencies then?
I wouldn't say eclipse, I would say complemented. Because if you recall, we've been the first agency to go about is just helping to frame out what the digital economy actually is. And so along the way, that mandate continued to expand. Now, of course, we can't do everything on ourselves. And over the years, the platform has also expanded with complexity. So I think that at this stage, like, we all complement each other. And so if you just take My Digital, for example, I remember when I first joined MDEC, it almost felt like we were the only ones going around saying, come, let's go digital, let's do this, let's do that. And then now we've got all the other ministries and agencies along, and we've got this blueprint to help frame everything together. Now, of course, you know, at this stage right now, it may seem to the public that it's quite confusing who does what, primarily because still in the early stages of implementing change. And so everybody right now is focused on how you communicate, but the functions, they're all quite well articulated now. And there's a lot of movement still, a lot of agencies consolidating and whatnot. But for the most part, there's a lot of complementary efforts that's ongoing. And the focus right now is everybody's focus on outwardly communicating that.
So is there no danger of all that these government agencies are working in silos? And the reason why is, for example, MAGIC reports to MOSTI. Cradle is an MOF organization. Malaysian Venture Capital Management, also another MOF organization. So you have two ministries there. Plus, of course, you come under the Communications and Multimedia Ministry.
On the contrary, because one of the things that was instrumental that was done last year was setting up of the governance structure for all of this. So in addition to rolling out the blueprint, what's notable was the setting up of the proper governance structure. And so, in fact, like last year, having our role as thought partner to the government, you know, in one of our presentations to the EAC, we highlighted the need for proper governance. And what was set up then was the Digital Economy Task Force. which MDEC secretariat along with our ministry. And so this task force, that first objective was to make sure that we start to canvas and make sure that there's clarity in terms of who does what, because at that point, it wasn't really clear who does what, and there was overlap. And so that digital economy task force started with 15 different work streams. And I remember the first meeting that we were had, it was quite monumental because for the first time we had, you know, multiple ministries and agencies all sitting together on one table and going through all the different initiatives that's there. Now, the DETF, Digital Economy Task Force, now has morphed into what we now know as the Digital Economy and 4R Council that is chaired by Prime Minister himself. And we're all coming together and we all, the expectation is to share information and keep track. And so this is the mechanism that would hopefully minimize the overlap. And I can tell you that there's certainly a lot more collaboration that's happening.
On The Breakfast Grill this morning, Serena Shukri, CEO of MDEC. When we come back, MDEC's role in creating a digital economy, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning, Serena Shukri, CEO of MDEC. Earlier on, we were asking if there's any truth to the rumours that she will soon be replaced. Now, Serena, I want to shift back to MDEC, what its core purpose, vision and objective was, because if anything, COVID-19 really puts a spotlight on the necessity of creating a digital economy, one, of course, which is less susceptible to border closures, supply chain disruptions, moving away from the old economy to the fourth industrial revolution. But I think, if anything, COVID-19 also lays bare the gaps. And at MDEC, like you say, the focus is on people, businesses and investments. So I want to start with the people. So how can we achieve this lofty goal, being the ASEAN Digital Centre, when there clearly is a huge digital divide among Malaysians between the rural and the urban and between different segments in society?
Yeah, so this bridging the digital divide is at the center of a lot of things that we do. Even if you look at my digital plan, you know, it centers around inclusivity. And of course, you know, us at MDEC, we believe everything that we do is around helping to build an inclusive society that's integrated with technology. We have this whole idea of human centricity, making sure that technology works for society. And so core to that, I think, is what the government's very focused on right now, which is infrastructure, because we got to make sure that you have connectivity, because that is the baseline. If you're not connected, then that really precludes you.
But are we giving people the tools in which to be connected? So yes, you can, you know, you can develop the 5G network, you can have broadband connectivity, but if people don't have the gadgets, let's face it, they're not going to be able to connect.
Correct. So I think the realization is there. And so other folks in the government are focused on that. So it really comes down to execution. Now, once you're connected, now let's talk about what's required from then on. I think that the most important thing is a change mindset. And what is this change mindset? It's a learning mindset. Because today, when you think about digital, whether you're a student in Form 5 or you're an executive with 20 years experience, the subject of digital is all about change. There's so many new things that you need to learn. And this whole notion of learning to earn is key. And so on our side, you know, there's plenty of things, plenty of resources that we're helping to provide to the public out there as far as learning is concerned. One example, last year, like we had this, we kicked off a campaign called Let's Learn Digital, which is really all about helping people, you know, transition into new digital roles. And there's lots of digital courses that are out there. But it's not just like pure digital. You know, when you think about digital, you start to think, oh, I need to learn data science and all that. There's that too. But then there's other more basic digital skills that's required. Everything from, hey, how do you navigate the latest and greatest with social media? And so there is this whole notion of you have to learn in order to earn. And so this new skills, expanding these new skills is key. So on our side, the range is quite broad because we're dealing with we're helping to help skill the current workforce today. But we're also helping to enable people to find ways to participate in the digital economy. So like the freelancer economy, for example, the platform economy. So we've got quite a robust offering there too, because everybody, like I said, In this new world, it's all about learning so you can figure out how to earn.
Exactly that, you know, because you have this hashtag My Digital Workforce Jobs platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know as of last year, that digital career platform apparently received more than 23,000 applications with about 700 shortlisted for interviews. I'm just curious, how successful has it been then to help Malaysians get jobs in this current challenging times?
So I don't know what the final statistic were, but I can tell you that as far as tech jobs is concerned, what we've seen over the last 6 months alone, and this is just tracking on LinkedIn, the demand for technology jobs has increased threefold. And that's only just like looking at LinkedIn. And so the demand is there. But
we have the people in place? Are they trained to do it? Are they receiving the right education to get these jobs?
Yeah, so I would say it is a question of getting through the recruiting process right now. And so there have been successful placements as a result of the visibility in terms of open roles and candidates.
Mm. Now, let's shift to businesses, especially SMEs, and getting them to be part of the digital economy, of course, is a priority for MDEC, right? So I'm just curious, what is the progress there, especially on the SME digital grant front, because the government is supposed to provide a 50% matching grant of up to 5,000 per company for the subscription of that kind of service. You know, how many people applied and how much money has been disbursed already to date?
So let me just take a step back and set a little bit of the context, yeah? And so last year in 2020, let me set a little bit more context. In 2019, my observation was that a lot of the SMEs were still at the stage of they were asking, we really need to go digital. But what 2020 actually did was really emphasize on the point of, oh yeah, you're right, we do need to go digital. And so a lot of the SMEs were really asking how. And so in that process, there was a lot of education, a lot of awareness, a lot of know-how that transpired. As it relates to, for the folks that were already ready to embark on that next step, the government actually provided small business digitalization grants. And through this, 416 technology solution providers were onboarded to provide solutions to these SMEs. And according to the statistic that I have, there were close to 7,600 plus grant recipients of these small business digitalization grants. Now, of course, you know, you can say, well, compared to the big number of SMEs, that's not really that much. But what's happening today is that we're increasing the efforts to make sure that that process is an easier process for SMEs to embark on. Because I think last year there was a combination of SMEs were still trying to learn what exactly they needed as far as digitalization is concerned. So there was a huge pickup, a huge spike in terms of this hunger for content. So they were, you know, many SMEs embarking on, attending webinars and really trying to understand like what they need to do. And we do expect a lot more pickup in terms of the solutioning for them. It's a huge area of focus and many agencies, ourselves included, we're collaborating with private sector as well to make sure that this process, it's easy for SMEs to do that.
And I want to talk about investments. So recently we had good news, Microsoft Corporation investing $1 billion over the next 5 years in Malaysia as part of this new partnership program with government agencies and even local companies. But I want to know whether we still should improve in terms of our framework to attract this kind of heavy investments. Because, for example, and this is something highlighted by MDEC's chairman, the cabotage policy is not in favor of this at the moment. I mean, what are your views on this?
So first and foremost, we need people to understand that to attract investments, it requires a cohesive approach, right? So it's not just, like even for us, when we're talking to investors, we tell them that, you know, it requires cooperation, collaboration with different ministries and agencies, and we need to make sure that it's all in sync. I think thanks to the advocacy work that we've done, I think there's a realization of the importance of making sure that we make it easy for investors to do business with Malaysia. And so, like I mentioned earlier, the creation of the Digital Investment Office, for example, comes alongside with it, you know, enhance governance, i.e. like who does what, when, to make it easy to streamline it.
Yeah, but I mean, we can have fantastic policies, we can have nice blueprints, but at the end of the day, if we continue to have some of these old protectionist kind of policies, will it really attract the big tech to come to Malaysia when yes. the rest of the region is also hungry for the same FDI?
Correct. So what I was trying to highlight, it's not so much so policies per se, but it's execution. And so that example that I give around this Digital Investment Office, it's highlighting the execution element. So how are we actually going to table issues? How are we going to have discussions? Who do we discuss with? And so these are things that on the, at least on the government side, we're trying to enhance, because you're absolutely right. Like you need to, it's not just policies, it's how you execute. Mm-hmm. How do you table things for discussion and whatnot?
Yeah, because another glaring policy which hasn't been very popular with MNCs is where all employers who intend to employ foreign workers are first required to advertise the job vacancies on the national portal, My Future Jobs. Then this is followed by another candidate interview session with the employer's rep and even with the Social Security Organization. I mean, doesn't this work against our favour in attracting the MNCs to invest more in Malaysia?
So there's always, you know, one action typically leads to another. And that's one area that we want to make sure that at least on the government side, they're aware of the implications. We're actually in the midst of discussing that one as we speak. And so we want to make sure that as the bureaucrats come up with policy, that they're really fully aware in terms of all the implications. Because from our standpoint, the ability to do business at ease is one of the important criteria that investors look for.
Now, the other thing, of course, which is investors are looking for is having the right digital infrastructure in place. And of course, part of that is the 5G network. And recently, the government made some announcements creating a special purpose vehicle known as the DMB, who will undertake the deployment of the 5G infrastructure and network nationwide. Now, this is a rather unusual initiative. It's going to be government driven versus private driven. Now, I'm just curious, in your conversations with the MNCs, are they concerned about this? Because it's the case of, isn't it the government getting into business rather than facilitating it?
Well, there's always two views, right? And so I think with infrastructure, infrastructure is almost like, you know, like a utility. And so we want to make sure that it gets rolled out effectively. And so like this, I would defer to the ministry and the telco industry on that. But I think, you know, the perspective is that, you know, different times calls for different measures. And even with this 5G, there is still close collaboration with private sector as well.
Now, I want to ask a final question about your time at MDEC, because like you said, it's what, 28 months there?
Uh-huh.
And you came from private sector to join the government. And some would say it's a form of national service, you know, so far. Has it been a very rewarding experience?
It's been a rewarding experience, absolutely. It's been challenging, but one of the main reasons why it's so challenging is because the role is much more complex than people think. I think that one of the big aha moments for me in the early days was the realization that as government, you don't have the ability to pick and choose. If you're a private company, you can choose like which target segment that you want to cover, which customer, et cetera, et cetera. But I think when you're government, you really have so many stakeholders that you have to deal with. And so it's a really a lot more complex than people think. But at the same time, though, I really think that we do need technocrats in government, because at the end of the day, the importance of thinking like a business. And what I mean by that is, how do you communicate with customers? How do you track? How do you follow up? How do you make sure that your initiatives grow? And how do you continue to work with a sense of urgency? It's clear that sometimes technocrats think very differently than bureaucrats and politicians, but we're all in the mix together.
On that note, thank you for your time. Today on The Breakfast Grill was Serena Shukri, CEO of MDEC. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.